In our scripture reading, we were reading about Peter, and there is no doubt that Peter loved Jesus. Back in Matthew chapter 14, is where we'll start at, and talking about Peter, all the other disciples during a storm were afraid and stayed in the boat. But Peter got the idea that he wanted, when he realized it was Jesus walking by the boat, that he wanted to come out. And in Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 28. Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Peter was the one who wanted to be with Jesus. And when we get towards the end of Peter's life, in Matthew 26, and starting with verse 31, Matthew 26, verse 31, it says, "After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.'" And specifically, in Luke's account, we're told that Jesus tells Peter in Luke chapter 22, Luke 22 and verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fall or fail. And you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Can you imagine what it'd be like to have God's Son tell you, "I've been praying for you"? Peter's response was, "There's just no way I'm going to abandon you." In fact, in the very next verse, 33. But he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And he said, "I say to you, Peter, that the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me." Peter couldn't understand that. Peter just would not accept it. In fact, later, when Jesus is arrested, it's probably the reason why Peter is the one who struck out with a sword. In John chapter 18, and in verse 15, Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so it was another disciple. Now, that disciple was known to... I've jumped ahead. 18 verse 7. Sorry, read the wrong line. John chapter 18, verse 7. Therefore he said, asked again them, "What do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." And Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their own way, to fulfill the word which he has spoke of, which you have given me, I lost not a one." Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword in the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" Peter doesn't want to deny Christ. He tries to protect Christ. And he's told, "Put away the sword." It's a bit confusing from Peter's point of view. And Peter really wanted to know what happened to Jesus. What was going to happen? And so he followed in verse 15. Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the slave girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And he said, I am not. Then the slave girl, now the slaves and the officers who were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves, and Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. So he was there. John's in with the court, but Peter's outside in the courtyard. It's cold outside. They're standing around a fire. And already once he denied that he was one of Jesus' followers. Peter probably just wanted to stay unnoticed so he can just listen and find out what happened to Christ. Going back to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and in verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. And when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting there among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, this man was with him too. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. A little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I'm not. And about an hour passed, and another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man was also with him, for he is a Galilean too. So focused was Peter on not being recognized that I think he forgot what Jesus said. And he forgot about what he promised. But in verse 6, he said, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And this one really gets to me. Jesus doesn't say a word. But right at that point, it says in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he told him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. Can you imagine what it'll be like? Say, just confident, you're not going to do this. And then unthinkingly you do, and all the Lord does is look at you. And that's why we read, and he went outside and wept bitterly. But I want you to think about something. What would I do in the face of danger? It's too far to shake our heads in sympathy at Peter's failure while living a good life sheltered from persecution. There's a song that we're going to be singing at the end. It's 328. I want you to take your songbooks and take a look at this poem. 328, In the Hour of Trial. This song brings the story of Peter out and basically drops it in your lap. In the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me. lest by base denial I depart from thee. When thou seest me waver, with a look recall. Nor for fear or favor suffer me to fall. Peter didn't leave the Lord. Despite his denials, despite his grief at his sin, he came back. In fact, take a look back again at Luke 22. Look at verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have been turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew that Peter's strength would come back. In fact, in John chapter 21, John 21 and verse 14, actually, I'm with verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to them a third time, Simon, the son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to them, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. And one of the things that should be noted, Peter denied the Lord three times. The Lord gave Peter an opportunity to express his love for him three times. But I want you also to notice that even in that, Peter was hurt. It hurt him that someone had to ask three times whether he loved Jesus. But it was the truth. And Peter was granted the opportunity to speak the first gospel sermon. He opened the kingdom to the world. And so again, what would you do if it came down to facing severe persecution, knowing your life would be in jeopardy? But you know, there are other dangers that can pull us away from the Lord. The song that's in 328, it talks about these other dangers as well. In verse 2, it talks about worldly pleasures. With forbidden pleasures, would this vain world charm, or its sordid treasures spread to work me harm? Bring to my remembrance sad Gethsemane, or in darker semblance, cross-crowned Calvary. This verse brings to mind Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he is looking to the reward. That's the same point that's being made. The rewards in this world, the rewards that come with worldly pleasure, they're deceptive. Oh, they're fun for a moment, but they always end up bringing out harm. in Proverbs chapter 11. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. Sin and its pleasures just don't last. And they come to an end all of a sudden. In Psalm 73, Psalm 73 in verse 18, Psalm 73, verse 18. Surely you have set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are utterly swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream when one awakens, O Lord, when aroused, you will despise their form. But there's another type of suffering that might pull us away from Christ. But it's from a different source. Should thy mercies send me sorrow, toil, and woe? Or should pain attend me on my path below? Grant that I may never fail thy hand to see. Grant that I may ever cast my care on thee. We usually think of suffering as punishment. But the author reminds us that there are times when suffering is a benefit to us. See, sorrow can keep us focused. Sorrows can make us remember that we're frail and human. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 2. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man. Sorrow is better than laughter, for when a face is sad, a heart may be happy. The mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of the fool is in the house of pleasure. We need to remember that everything's not always good. But it only will work if we see the benefit that comes. Otherwise, we get consumed by the sorrow. We have to remember that it's helping us long for heaven. It's helping us see that this world isn't everything. And Paul then becomes our example here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And starting with verse 7. And I wrote down 10 and I want 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 12. And in verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. We don't think about suffering as a grace of God. But if it keeps us in line, if it keeps us to get to heaven, even the hardships are tender mercy from God. There's one other thing the author reminds us. In the fourth verse, it says, when my last hour cometh, fraught with strife and pain, when my dust returneth to the dust again, on thy truth relying, though that mortal strife, Jesus, take me dying to eternal life. When we get to the end of life, and our bodies start to fall apart, and things get really tough to do, do we still remember God? Now, again, the writer of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes chapter 13, no, it has to be 12, another typo. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. There's only 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and in verse 6. Remember him before the silver cord is broken, and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. When the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. There is the time that we need to remember our Creator before it's the end. In fact, Jesus tells disciples in Revelation, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We can't just be faithful now. We have to hang on all the way to the end. Whereas Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 22. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who has endured to the end will be saved. We will be rewarded if we don't grow weary. Paul tells us that in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. I want you to think about these as we finish off and we're going to sing this song. What would I do? How will I last? When it comes to the hour of trial, am I going to succeed or do I cave? Why don't you stand as we sing this song? And if there's any here who wish to come forward to ask for the prayers of their brethren, now's the time to do so. Those who wish to be baptized, we offer that opportunity as well. Domine in the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me. Let my base not go, I depart from thee. When thou sit me waver, with a look recall, nor forbid or favor, suffer me to fall. With forbidden pleasure of this
Bring to my remembrance sackcloth and money, hawk and dagger, and blood, cross, crown, cavalry. Should thy mercy send me sorrow, toil, and woe, or should pain attend me on my Babylon, grant that I may not ever fail thy hand to sing it. Grant that I may ever cast my care on thee. When my last hour cometh, fraught with strife and pain, when my doubt returneth to the dust again, on thy truth relying, though